Hey, Bill, how are you?
Doing all right, Glenn. Fred, Steve, how you guys doing?
Well, that was good. A typical Patriots-Colts game, and this one you came up with a big play late in the game. But, boy, it looked all so familiar, didn't it?
It did. It really did. But, you know, it seems like it always is like that with the Colts. It's a dogfight and comes down to a last possession or play, and you can never count them out. They're a good football team.
Now, do you actually probably don't even have to, but do you actually remind the guys at halftime that this is we've seen this before? Be prepared for whatever comes at you in the second half, or do these guys already know it?
Well, I'm sure they do, but you know, we still talk about it and reinforce it. I mean, you know, it's got to be 60 minutes against the Colts. I mean, that they can score in a hurry, and their defense, their strip sacks and tip balls, and ability to come up with a turnover are as good as anybody's in the league. So they're really dangerous, no matter how much time's left on the clock.
They always talk about, you know, the battle of the wits and Peyton Manning's ability to adjust the defense. How much did the defense change? I mean, it seemed like everything's in control. 7 minutes left, he started lightening up and moving the ball. You went a lot of nickel and dime. What changed between the first part of the game and that last 7 minutes on defense?
Well, I'd say probably just the overall execution. I mean, there weren't any new calls, just trying to disguise what we did and mix it up. And he hit us on a couple things, and then in the end we were able to make the play, and we made some plays earlier in the game. So I think it's just one of those games with them where you don't want to let them know what you're in. You want to do a good job of disguising it and just try to keep mixing it up. And
with a 17-point lead, did you go more of a prevent to keep them underneath you to eat the clock up? No?
No. We played what we played the whole game.
And the big thing to that is making those tackles and not letting them break free for
– Well, yeah, we missed some tackles. He had made a great throw there on the middle read for the second touch or the last touchdown. You know, they had a good play on the pop pass where he faked the run and hit the slot over the middle. So they had some good plays. We had some good plays. Luckily, we just had a couple more than they did.
I know it was Peyton Manning yesterday, but we were talking about this earlier. When you're in the zone, it looks right now as if teams are burning you over the middle with regularity. Is that a concern that you have right now?
Well, I think defensively, you've got to be able to hold up everywhere. So, you know, we've had some plays inside, some plays outside. A lot of it depends on what you're in, depends on what coverage you're in. You know, if you're trying to you got guys in the middle of the field, then you're more vulnerable outside. You got guys more in the perimeter of the field, you're more vulnerable inside. So that's basic defense. Mm-hmm.
Did you notice on the films if Cunningham's pressure on that interception, on Sanders' interception, you know if that played a part at all?
Couldn't tell from the coach's copy, Steve, but I think watching the TV replay on it, it's awfully close, so it might have. It's really a close play. I mean, he doesn't get him real hard, but it looks like he might get him just a little, and so I'm not sure it's close.
Well, the thing with him, too, we saw it earlier in the game, and I think it was Cunningham earlier in the game, where Peyton Manning quicked up the pace in unloading the football. I wonder if, because he seems to feel when somebody's coming at him, I'm wondering if he tried to unload it a little bit quicker than he wanted to unload it at that point, even if he didn't make contact.
I'm not sure, but he definitely feels the rush. He knows when it's getting close, and that's why it's such a hard guy to sack, because he knows when those defenders are getting in the area, and he gets rid of it one way or the other, either throws it away or gets it to whatever his best option is at that point. He makes very quick decisions and has a quick release, and he knows when there isn't much time left in the pocket.
You know, Coach, you talk about his quick release and his quick decision. Last week against Roethlisberger, you put a lot of pressure on him. With Manning, is there anybody that you've played against that reads and reacts to the defense as fast as him?
I don't think we've played against anybody that I could put in that category. I mean, he's really exceptional. And when you do pressure, there were a couple times even where we had guys free that were unblocked, and they were still two steps away from him. I mean, he got rid of the ball. He knew that they came free, and he got rid of it, and there was still really no chance to get him.
He mentioned, Peyton Manning mentioned after the game that he saw some things that weren't that familiar to him, and considering the amount of times that the teams have played each other. Was there anything different that you've done, that you did last night as opposed to the previous five or six games?
Well, we just set up some things last night that we felt like complemented each other, so we had however many defenses it was, and then tried to make them all look the same or make these look like those, where there was a compatibility to the calls so that it wasn't so obvious to them what we were doing. and that so that's really what we try to do. Maybe that worked to some degree. I don't know, but that's what we were trying, is not to just make it easy for them to and the receivers, because I think a couple times they might have had a problem where the quarterback and the receiver misread it, and they both didn't see the same thing. I don't know who was right and who was wrong, but I think the disguise was part of what we were trying to do there, was to make them work a little harder to get on the same page on their route adjustments.
On the McCourty interception, when Garcon broke the route off, were you in cover two or cover four they were talking about at one point?
I think we're actually in cover three on that play. Okay. Yeah. Yep.
Bill, first half you had a lot of success running the ball for most of the game, and did down the stretch couldn't get consecutive first downs. You know, we all figured you'd move the ball, and they continually tried to run. Did they bring anyone up close to the line of scrimmage? It seemed to be, you know, persistent.
Yeah,
run.
Yeah, no, they were. Yeah, sure, no, they were up there. They were up there. We hit the run to Ben Jarvis, and that split through for, I don't know, whatever it is, a dozen yards, yep, something like that. And then the other plays weren't as good, but you know, we felt like we had a good opportunity to, you know, to make good positive yards. And we just didn't, obviously we didn't make as many as we hoped we would. And then we ended up in third and whatever it was, third and five, third and six, third and four, something like that. And then we just couldn't convert on third down. So, we hope those runs would have gone a little bit better or been able to pick up the third down play. But, on those last two drives, neither one of those happened.
I'm going to ask you an obvious question, but part of the thinking that goes into it is eating up the clock as much as you can, and all those plays being up by 17 points.
I think the more important thing is trying to make first downs, trying to keep the ball moving. And, you know, you have to go with the plays that you feel best about at that point. And we were running the ball pretty well. We felt confident in our running game. We knew that they would be expecting the run, but, I mean, we had run them against them earlier, so... You know, they just did a little better job than we did on some of those plays. There are other points in the game where I'd say we did a better job than they did. So, you know, we need to be a little more consistent and be able to execute it for all 60 minutes.
How much does the strategy change when you're dealing with a quarterback and the stature of Peyton Manning? You're talking about moving to chains, and obviously 7 minutes, I think, a little over 7 minutes left in the game. You're up 31-14. You get a few first downs.
It's like 10 minutes ago in the game.
10 minutes ago in the game. Yeah, you get a few first downs, and suddenly he's not out in the field enough to be able to score to get back in the game. How much of that plays in, even more so with Manning, Bill, than a lot of other quarterbacks and teams that you're facing?
Well, I think that's always what you're trying to do. So no matter who the quarterback is, your goal is still the same, is to be able to pick up first downs and run out the clock. So that's a key part of it. I mean, no matter who the quarterback is, you don't want to give him the ball back. And of course, it's important with him. I'm not saying that. I mean, he's as good as anybody. That team's as good as anybody at being able to strike in a hurry. But you still have the same, right. You still have the same goal is to make first downs and run some clock out or make them use their timeouts. And we just didn't do a good enough job of that.
Initially, you guys really played the run real well. They broke a few of the delayed handoffs and draws in there, but the run defense was exceptionally well, but they kept doing it to help with their play action. And what was the guys are flowing real well. What was it attributed to that? They played, the linebackers up a little bit. I mean, they couldn't run at all for a seven. I think they had like a yard rushing.
Well, I think the big thing that happened in the draw play at the end of the game was just they weren't running very well. We were confident in our run defense. We were overplaying the pass a little bit, and they got us. So a couple of the calls that we made were a little more of the pass in mind, and then they did a good job of slipping a run in there, and we just probably didn't have our best call on and weren't quite alert enough to see it quickly enough and before he got through there. So it was really the one play was the – I mean, there were a couple other ones that he stuck in for a few yards, but that was the draw play was on.
Is he audible to that?
That hurt us. Well, I'm not sure. You know, it was third and five. They were in a hurry-up offense anyway, so I don't know if you call it an audible or not. I think they just called the play and ran it.
Is your defense, and in particular the pass defense, are they going to have to live and die by the big play, or can you see improvement in the next six games?
Well, I hope our whole team can improve over the next 6 weeks. We've got a lot of practices and a lot of meetings. I hope we can get something out of that. But I think the big thing is we've, in every game, I think, shown the ability to play well at times and do the things we need to do. We just haven't done it the whole
60 minutes.
For 60 minutes. And that's been true offensively as well. We've had some great great opportunities offensively in the first half and then sometimes in the second half, but it just really haven't gotten it for the full 60 minutes in any phase of the game. And we've got to find a way to keep working to get there. And we are. We just hopefully it'll happen this week.
How much of that is execution and how much of it is adjustments in the second half?
Well, I think there's always a little bit of both. I mean, there's certainly a flow to the game that you have to be able to adjust to from a scheme standpoint. But especially with the Colts, it wasn't like they are going to run a lot of new defenses or, for that matter, they're not going to run a lot of new plays on offense. They run what they run. They're very successful doing it, and they stay with it. So it wasn't as much of an adjustment game yesterday as it was in some other games that we've played this year.
Obviously, the weakness of that defense is running at Freeney and Mathis because they're not as big guys, but they have great quickness on the pass rush. The game plan, obviously, run at them, keep them at bay so they're not able to get upfield and make a pass rush. Good second half with 46 yards passing when you had control of the game.
Well, as you know, Fred, you got to block all of them, and Freeney and Mathis they're definitely challenging guys to block, but so are the other guys. So you can't let them go. You won't make any yards. You got to get them all blocked. So, it just comes down to good execution on your running game between your blockers and the timing of the running backs and being able to, create some space in there to run. And that's really everybody's involved in that. It's not just blocking one.
They are quick. I mean, they move to the ball real quick.
They're more than quick.
Yeah, I mean, they can.
And they're as quick as anybody in the league. And explosive, too. I mean, they might not be the biggest guys in the league, but with their initial explosion and get off and how quickly they're across the line of scrimmage, that's a real explosive group.
Danny Woodhead gets a lot of ink out there because he's such a small player and he's able to do some amazing things, and he had a terrific game. But I thought the best part of the Woodhead touchdown yesterday was the three smallest guys out in the field contributed. You had Deion Branch making that first block downfield, and then you had Wes Welker just before he crossed over the goal line. Three smallest guys
in the stadium.
In the stadium, right. Coming up with that play, which was pretty amazing.
Well, our receivers did a good job in the game, and they've been doing a good job all year blocking downfield, helping the running game, and that also shows up on some play-action passes where they're going into block, and then it turns into a pass, and we fake the ball, and then they go into their route. So those look the same. It's hard for the defense to read, and it's definitely effective when they can make those kind of blocks on big plays. It makes the defense respect that even more.
Woodhead, when he ran that long touchdown run, his feet are moving so fast. Even when he starts stumbling, he can move his feet so fast to catch up with his balance, whereas a strider probably would have tripped. And most, have you ever seen a guy move his feet that fast?
He's got real good balance and quickness and runs well. So, like, a lot of similarities to Kevin Falk.
Have you ever had a team with that many small guys out there?
Oh, sure.
Receivers in back?
Branch, Troy Brown,
well, yeah, the old
Kevin
man.
Falk, Patton. Yeah.
Now, the advantage is they change direction real quick, but they can't. to cover them one-on-one?
We didn't have a guy, a receiver out there over 5'10",
yeah,
including the back.
When,
it's overrated, by the way, that height stuff, guys.
Welker.
I'd say that if I was you, too. But
yeah, overrated, bro. Overrated. Vastly overrated.
The offensive line did a pretty good job protecting Brady and even rushing the ball. Seems like Mankins has worked in real well with that. Doesn't seem like he's even felt the time that he missed.
Well, he's done a great job the last 2 weeks and even the first week in Cleveland. But Pittsburgh last week and yesterday, outstanding. He's done a terrific job. Mm-hmm. It's been a big addition to our team over the past few weeks, and hopefully that'll continue to grow as we go into the season. But he adds a lot to our football team.
His style of play is more aggressive. He's a tough guy and seems to have a residual effects on the other guys because you come off and obviously you're running at him a lot, but he drives block and comes off that ball as well as anybody.
Well, Logan's an outstanding player. He's a very good pass protector. He's a good run blocker. He's strong. He's got good balance, got good feet. So he can get movement on the line and can mirror those rushers and stay in front of them and punch them out. He really does everything well. He's a good technique player. So he's obviously he's a very good football player, and our team benefits from having him out there.
Did you have any choice words for Tully Banta-Kane after the penalty and the timing of the penalty?
Well, it's definitely not anything we're looking for. That was a bad time for that penalty to occur.
You want guys to stick up for each other, but You got to be smart, right?
You can't do that.
Yeah.
All right, time now for the coach's question of the week, brought to you by AutoTrader.com. Now compare new and used cars side-by-side at AutoTrader.com, the ultimate automotive marketplace and proud partner of Patriots football. We use this opportunity to ask you about facing the Lions, doing it on a quick turnaround, and the fact that this is not a division foe, this is not a team that you see on a regular basis. How much more difficult does that make it for you? And there's a lot of unknown here.
About as tough as it gets. And this is about as tough a week of preparation as it gets. We don't know the team. We don't know the players. Last time we played them, it's a new staff. They've had a lot of turnover. They have a lot of young players, a lot of very good players, but we just don't have a great background on them. We did some work on them in the offseason, but 10 games have passed. So what we did last year, and even with some of the players that are there now that weren't there then, like Sue and Best and guys like that, they've added and changed the dimension of their team a little bit with the addition of those players. So it's hard, and I think when you play out of conference in a short week like that, it's tough. It's the same challenge they face, though. So, but it's definitely hard on our players and our coaches to try to get the compact and precise and definitive information that we feel like we normally are able to get on a team in such a short amount of time. On a team that's played 10 games and try to really consolidate it for the players and say, well, this is what they're going to do in these situations. Sometimes we, you struggle to get it all put together on all the situations, third down, goal line, short yardage, 2 minute, so forth.
They showed it on TV yesterday, paying honor to Paul Brown with you walking in with the hat last week into Cleveland. That was pretty interesting. By the way, Fred's doing a similar thing here today. He's got a Fred and Steve Steakhouse hoodie. It says BB on the front of it.
I'm trying to wonder.
That's for you. That's
actually
we had those made up 4 years ago, and I wondered what happened to them.
No, actually, Bill, what happened was we knew you liked the beans so much. It says Bill's Beans.
No, it's not. You stole a shirt that was made.
Bill,
for
I think
else.
That was your Christmas gift from 3 years.
It fits so well, Coach.
You stole it.
But the Paul Brown thing was pretty interesting.
Yeah,
well, it's really an honor, very flattering to be even mentioned in the same sentence as Paul Brown. So, I accept that very. With great respect and honor for that man, did more for pro football than probably anybody else.
Because you don't
that's
use
at a touch that's touch pro football.
You don't usually wear those hats. I know.
Are you gonna add that to your attire? That hat. It was a real nice looking look.
Yeah, that with a sweatshirt, that'd be awesome.
If you only had one.
Hey, no.
Congratulations on the win yesterday. Good luck Thursday. Have a great Thanksgiving Day out there in Detroit.
Same to you and all of our listeners. Thank you.
We'll talk to you next Monday.
All right.